Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, where we are hiss-free. No static in my stocking today. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by Mr. Jeff Reed on my right, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room, and we are ready to roll with another edition of the Hamilton Corner. Of course, most of you know, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Trump last night. We'll get into that, but of course you know before we get into the foolishness du jour, and let me tell you, the healthy heaping of foolishness for today to deal with. But before we do that, we must turn to the Word of God. And as my custom is on a daily basis, I want to encourage you as you make your transition from your part-time work, that's what we do outside of our homes to generate an income, as you make that transition from part-time work to your full-time job, that is what you do within your families. Because we generate income outside of our home, that's a part-time basis, but we're full-time fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, etc. And the unfortunate reality is that in many instances, and I have some information I want to share during this segment that's going to crystallize that, some recent statistics from the Pew Research Center, all too often, man, we sacrifice our families in an effort to win the world. And it is not God's desire for us to neglect the world, but he certainly doesn't want us to sacrifice our families in an effort to win the world. My encouragement is to reverse that. And man, I'm telling you, and I've been saying this, 2020 is going to be amazing. We have all kinds of things happening. But one of the things that needs to happen is that we need to have a fresh view of the family. So I want to encourage you, as you make that transition from part-time work to full-time work, you do so with full intentionality. Invite the Spirit of God to move inside of you and through you today, to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God within your home. What happens in your house is far more important than what happens in the White House. What happens on your hill is way more important than what goes on in Capitol Hill. All right, on Capitol Hill. We're going to start today in 1 Peter chapter 3, familiar passage of scripture, verses 8 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 16, and I want to lift a principle from the Word of God that really is going to drive home a point I was just making. And this is Peter writing, and he says this. Finally, verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Now, this is a passage, the phrase where it says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that you have, always being prepared. That phrase is drawn from the Greek word apologia, where we get the English word apologetics. The discipline of apologetics stems from this passage here. And the point that I've made before, and I'm going to make again here today, that if you notice in the verses 8 through 12, before you even get to the apologetics text, before you even get to that, Peter goes through what seems like basic, and when I say basic, I don't mean easy, but nevertheless foundational, Christian living. You know, keep your tongue from evil. Turn away from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Then even when you get to verse 15, before you even get to always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, Peter writes, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Honor Christ the Lord as holy. This scripture matches a book I'm actually reading about this. That the thesis of this book is if you want to understand why identity politics has been elevated to such a fever pitch in our culture, you have to trace the genesis of this back to the sexual revolution of the 60s. Now, it's not suggesting that the sexual revolution is the exclusive reason for the prevalence of identity politics today, but it points to the sexual revolution as the fulcrum for what became the decimation of the American family. And not only the American family, but really the family in the West. That the author of this book isn't writing necessarily from a biblical worldview, so I'm not advocating it from that perspective. But from my vantage point, the Lord has granted us family for more than just, ooh, I feel good, you're my family, ooh, ain't you cute, the baby's so cute. But the Lord created the family to be the primary unit from which individuals develop identity. You know who you are, where you belong in the world. You derive that from the familial context that the Lord births us in. But with the sexual revolution, it has been a societal atom bomb that has decimated the scope of family. So that as the family declined, and its decline is directly related to the prevalence of relationship-less and commitment-less sexual activity, it's related to abortion on demand. Even the whole idea of gender confusion and other things are connected to the idea of people looking to external, and I would say supplementary and substitutionary sources of relationships to derive what they should be getting from their families. A couple statistics to bring this to bear, and Steve Jordahl put this story in my hand early this morning. I said, my goodness. The Pew Research Center put out a story late last week. Not a story, a study late last week. If I were to ask you what nation in the world has the highest percentage of children living in single-parent households, what nation would you answer? Some of you already kind of like, I gave it away. The Pew Research Center studied 130 countries and territories and shows that the United States of America has the highest rate of children living in single-parent households in the world. The United States of America. Pew Research defined a single-parent household as a household that has a sole adult living with at least one biological, step, or foster child under the age of 18. The United States' rate for children living in single-parent households is 8 times the rate of China, 6 times the rate of Nigeria, 4 times the rate of children living in India. And going back to the book that I'm reading, what we found, what was found based on statistical research, the places where the family is suffering the highest levels of decimation are places that have the most material wealth. And based on this Pew Research study, the nation that follows the United States of America with the highest percentage of children living in single-parent households is the United Kingdom. Now, why am I bringing that up? Folks, I've said on this program, if you want to look into every place where the Leviathan state that is the U.S. government, the federal government, has sprawled into, it has always corresponded with a rescission, a stepping back of the family. Every single one, every single instance. And why am I saying this? I said it on this radio, on this radio program before. A booming economy alone doesn't make a nation great. Technological advancement doesn't make a nation great. If we continue to allow the family to be decimated, we're going to find ourselves repeatedly attempting to address deficiencies that are prevalent in the home. Deficiencies that are prevalent in the home. We will never be able to public policy or politic or even church our way out of the deficiencies that are prevalent in the home. I'm just telling you. So before we get enthralled and consumed by what's happening, oh, did you know the president was impeached? Would you hear the cry of my heart? How are things going in your home? If you're a husband, how is your wife? When was the last time that you really talked to her? Not talked at her. And not spend time around her. When was the last time you actually talked to her? If you are a wife, when was the last time you actually talked to your husband? You know, many couples suffer difficulty when their children become adults and there's, you know, the empty nest syndromes. You don't create a relationship overnight. Oftentimes we don't realize we've invested in the difficulties and during the empty nest times because we have not cultivated those relationships before. I know many of the people listening to me, we go to church on a regular basis, but when was the last time you investigated the fruit being produced in the lives of your children? I know they can quote John 3:16. I know they may be able to quote John 10:10. I know they may be able to quote various passages, but are they bearing fruit? Do you know? It's not the youth pastor's job. It's not the youth pastor's responsibility to make disciples out of our children. You know, there was a time when one of the things, when you would ask little boys what they wanted to be when they grow up in our country, one of the things they would say is, I want to be a father and a husband. But today it's being reversed to where you have young men who are delaying, if ever even pursuing marriage. We have the highest percentage of young women in our nation's history who are unmarried. And I'm not presenting marriage as if it is, you know, the ultimate panacea, but simple math will let you know that in order for society to be preserved, there have to be reproduction of offspring. What I'm saying, folks, is that in many instances, we are placing our attention everywhere else around the world. Some of us engage in politics as if we believe it's salvific. Jesus isn't subject to an election. And we find ourselves enraptured by this, not recognizing that we are slowly and imperceptibly sowing seeds of discord within our own family, familiar units, not by affirmative action, oftentimes by negligence. By negligence. And all the while, the cultural norms are beginning to have more and more and more sway to where, with all of our wealth, the United States of America has the highest percentage of children under the age of 18 living in a home with one adult, one parent. What's the remedy for that? What legislation are you going to pass to address that? We have, and I'm just going to tell you the way it is, we have today the most sexually practiced generation of Americans that ever existed and that are equally the least conversant in true intimacy and commitment than we've ever had in our country. But we want to talk about making America great. We better get our minds right and make marriage great again if we want to see an America be great. And the reason why marriage would be elevated or viewed in its proper view is because of God who authored marriage. Folks, all I'm simply saying, we got to get our thinking caps on right. And may the Spirit of God give us ears to hear what he's saying by his Spirit.
a snapshot of a radical culture in Kentucky. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A wedding photographer is fighting against a Louisville ordinance that would force her to photograph same-sex weddings. Chelsea Nelson owns a studio that specializes in photographing, editing, and blogging about weddings. Chelsea is a Christian whose religious beliefs shape her business, her art, and her creativity. The Louisville ordinance also prevents her from posting her religious beliefs on her website. Chelsea works and serves any clients, but she will not promote a message that violates her beliefs, particularly on marriage. The Louisville ordinance violates not only her First Amendment guarantee of freedom of speech and religion, it also violates the 14th Amendment's guarantee of due process and the Kentucky Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In America, we have the freedom to choose what we promote and what we celebrate. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
Harry, when we consider the main characters of the Christmas story, we think of Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child. Does history teach us what happened to Joseph?
Well, tradition has that Joseph died in Jesus' adolescent years. His presentation as a righteous man, yet his absence in the life of Christ would tend to tell us that he was not there. Why did the Lord take Joseph into eternity before Christ went to the cross? One of the reasons why is I know what Joseph would have done. I know what I would have done if I'd have seen my son handled that way. And I think that was God's perfect sovereign plan, that Joseph would raise this one, but then the Lord took him home as he took Jesus to the cross. And when Jesus goes to the cross, he's ready to take you to a new home, everlasting life, if you'll come to him.
A Christmas thought from Harry Reeder and your friends at Briarwood Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Harvey Milk was a homosexual who enlisted in the Navy in the 1950s as a diving instructor. He soon received a dishonorable discharge for criminal sexual activity in a city park. He also had used his off-base apartment to seduce sailors passing through the base on their way to Korea. He then committed the statutory rape of a 16-year-old boy who eventually threw himself off an 8-story building in despair after Milk dumped him. Milk became the first openly homosexual elected official in the United States, where he was mainly noted for his enthusiastic support of Jim Jones, who got 900 people to drink lethal Kool-Aid in the jungles of South America. But the U.S. Navy, if you can believe it, is actually naming a ship in his honor. Harvey Milk's name may belong in a hall of shame somewhere, but does not belong on the side of a vessel in the United States Navy.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I will be in Dubuque, Iowa, January 16th, 2020, at the Grand River Conference Center, located at 500 Bell Street, Dubuque, Iowa, 52001 is the zip code. It will be an AFA Action Town Hall event. The event is free of charge, but if you want to get your face in the place, you have to register, all right? To register, all you need to do is go to afa.net/Dubuque. Dubuque is spelled D-U-B-U-Q-U-E. Once again, it's spelled D-U-B-U-Q-U-E. afa.net/Dubuque. It will start at 6:30 p.m. at the Grand River Conference Center on January 16th, 2020. Have your face in the space, please. I'd love to meet you there. All right. Shall we commence the weaving? Impeachment. Most of you know by now, last night, the House of Representatives voted 230-197 for the first article of impeachment, which was abuse of power, and voted 229-198 in favor of the second article of impeachment, which was obstruction of Congress. It was a clear 100% party line vote. It was historic, and this is the first. Now, there have only been three impeachments of presidents. Three presidents have been impeached now in American history. Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, and now President Trump. But with Johnson and Clinton, they both were impeached on a bipartisan basis. Last night's events were historic because not one Republican crossed the aisle to vote in favor of impeaching President Trump. And in fact, two separate Democrats, well, three in total, but one of them is no longer a Democrat, and that's, what's his name? Jeff Van Drew, the 66-year-old first-term congressman from New Jersey. He said he was elected as a Democrat. He said, man, this impeachment stuff made me switch. So he's now a Republican. Pretty interesting. And then two others, I guess I should give you their names. Two other Democrats, because I have them. Where did I put them? Yes, Representative Colin Peterson from Minnesota and Representative Jared Golden are the only two other Democrats who voted against impeaching President Trump. And then Tulsi Gabbard, she who must claim Kamala Harris on her taxes, voted present on both articles of impeachment. But there was not one Republican who voted for the impeachment. Now, this is, we are getting into strange territory. And you know, I got to tell you guys, maybe I shouldn't have been, but I can't believe the number of people who I guess either skipped civics and social studies or I don't know what's happened. I mean, I and this is the truth. And I told this to my friend Will earlier. He could not stop laughing. I had a guy. I'm almost ashamed to say this. Who said out loud, not verbally, but this is a social media post. Trump's impeached. Obama's going to go back. Because see, the way it works, the one who was in office before is the one who becomes president again. I said, oh, no. Or say like the seasoned saints would say, bless that baby. Look, we don't say baby in order to say baby. Bless that baby. Oh, this dude said Obama's back. And then I saw other ones saying, nah, Hillary Clinton's going to be, because that's the one that should have been in. I was like, oh, my goodness. Folks, impeachment. And you guys know, you listen to this show, I don't have to explain it to you. You listen to the program, you know. But if somebody don't know, you can send me a side message. We won't discuss it here on the air. But impeachment is the formal accusation against the president. And in order to remove a president, it has to be the product of a Senate trial. And here's the other thing that a lot of people don't know. That the vote to impeach the president in the House is a simple majority vote. So it only took 218 senators to vote in favor of impeachment. But in order to remove a president, it takes two-thirds of the Senate. 67 senators have to vote to remove the president. All right? So for some, I hate to burst your bubble, but he's still your president. All right. I'm shocked to hear that. So last night after the vote was taken, This is a sham of shams, man. Like, the thing that's remarkable to me that I have never heard Democrats quote the Constitution and allude to the Founding Fathers. I mean, these are the same people that are trying to get the Founding Fathers scraped off of the sides of school buildings. You know? Well, for the Founding Fathers have said. The Founding Fathers. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with these people? At the same time that they're invoking such fidelity to the Constitution. They're absolutely trampling the Constitution. After the vote, well, where should I start this? I won't start after the vote. I'll start this morning. Mitch McConnell had some interesting observations to make on the floor of the United States Senate this morning, and I wanted you to hear some of this audio. Because some people think, well, finally, the impeachment has occurred. Do you realize this isn't the first time articles of impeachment have been filed against the president? Jeff, please play clip number 9.
This week wasn't even the first time House Democrats have introduced articles of impeachment. It was actually the 7th time. They started less than 6 months after the president was sworn in. They tried to impeach President Trump for being impolite to the press, for being mean to professional athletes, for changing President Obama's policy on transgender people in the military. All of these things were high crimes and misdemeanors.
7th time, folks. Did you know that? Did you know that this was the 7th set of articles of impeachment that had been drafted against the president? is what I'm telling you. This. I almost want to grab everybody who's listening. Let's sit around the table and have a conversation. Because the real source of angst and ire that should be percolating throughout the American populace, regardless of your partisan orientation, your political affiliation, do you realize that this entire debacle is meant to overturn the will of the American people? That's the thing that I think most people are not catching. You have people who have been granted access to various stations of power in our country who are saying, well, we don't like who the American people elected to be their president, so we'll just fix it. And by fix it, they mean reverse it. The seventh time. Articles of impeachment. Utterly ridiculous. And in addition to this impeachment vote last night being historic, because it's the first time ever in American history that a president has been a vote in favor of impeachment has been offered on solely on partisan lines. That's exactly what the founding fathers did not want to happen. That's exactly the standard Democrats in the House used to want to abide by. Nadler said it, Pelosi said it. In order to impeach a president, we have to have bipartisan support, and the American people have to be behind it. A second basis for the historic nature of last night's vote: in every other impeachment vote where a president has been impeached, the articles of impeachment included a crime. I told you guys yesterday, Andrew Johnson violated congressional statute. Broke the law. Bill Clinton, I did not have sex with that woman. Broke the law. Felonious crimes. President Trump, not so much. And this is what we want our constitutional republic to be about? Mitch McConnell had more to say on this. Listen to him comparing this debacle to past impeachment efforts in clip number 10.
The impeachment inquiry that led to President Nixon's resignation required about 14 months of hearings, 14 months, in addition to a special prosecutor's investigation. With President Clinton, the independent counsel's inquiry had been underway literally for years before the House Judiciary Committee actually dug in. Mountains of evidence, mountains of testimony from firsthand fact witnesses, serious legal battles to get what was necessary. This time around, House Democrats skipped all of that, spent just 12 weeks. More than a year of hearings for Nixon, multiple years of investigation for Clinton, and they've impeached President Trump in 12 weeks.
Did you hear that? Now, how do you reconcile the two? The previous six sets of articles of impeachment that were filed were all rejected by the House of Representatives. But the seventh article began with allegations that hadn't been included in the prior six. And on one hand, Nancy Pelosi said, it's because of the July 25th phone call. So 14 months of investigations for Nixon, who ended up resigning prior to an impeachment vote. Bill Clinton, a year of investigation specific to the articles of impeachment that were asserted. For President Trump, 12 weeks. Now, rushing to impeachment, there was such a fierce urgency of now to get President Trump out of office. Simple civics reminder, the House of Representatives, by a simple majority vote, has to vote to impeach the president. Then, in order to have the president removed or even to be considered for removal, those articles of impeachment must be transmitted to the Senate, to where the Senate conducts the trial based on the allegations made in the articles of impeachment. But all of a sudden, Nancy Pelosi decides, we voted to impeach the president in the House, but not so sure we want to transmit these articles of impeachment over to the Senate. Please play clip number 7.
Yes, sir.
Guarantee that the impeachment articles will be at some point sent to the Senate.
I'm not
guarantee that.
That would have been our intention, but we'll see what happens over there. We're not sending it tonight. because it's difficult to determine who the managers would be until we see the arena in which we will be participating.
Oh! So wait a minute. You are in a rush to impeach the president, but now you don't want to transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate to where he actually could be tried and potentially removed? It's almost as if your objective was merely a political one, that you weren't interested in actually considering having the president removed in the first place. What? And of course, and she reiterated that same thing this morning, and Mitch McConnell didn't waste any time taunting Nancy Pelosi for this about face. I mean, if you've made the decision to go through it and basically press the red button, that is, you know, the Nagasaki and Hiroshima of politics in America, now you want to stop and to calmly reflect and to deliberate as to what you want to do? Listen to clip number 9.
Just.
I'm sorry.
This week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant 10. No. I'm sorry. I mean 11.
By the speaker's own standards, the standards she set, she's failed the country. The case is not compelling, not overwhelming, and as a result, not bipartisan. The failure was made clear to everyone earlier this week when Senator Schumer began searching for ways the Senate could step out of our proper role and try to fix the House Democrats' failures for them. And it was made even more clear last night when Speaker Pelosi suggested that House Democrats may be too afraid to even transmit their shoddy work product to the Senate. Mr. President, it looks like the prosecutors are getting cold feet in front of the entire country and second-guessing whether they even want to go to trial. They said impeachment was so urgent that it could not even wait for due process, but now they're content to sit on their hands.
Interesting. Isn't that an interesting development? Hurry up and impeach the president and wait to give the articles to the Senate. This, folks, this is remarkable. I hope you sense and feel the outright contempt these people have for the American people. They actually think that the American people are so dense that we are unable to see through their efforts to rush an impeachment, yet then wait to give the articles to the Senate? And man, it's amazing how consistently the Democrats in Congress find a way to contort and to twist the Constitution to fit their agenda. I mean, there was no such thing as Borking before Judge Robert Bork. Prior to Judge Robert Bork, there had never been an instance to where a federal court, let alone a Supreme Court nominee, was literally dragged through the mud. I mean, I was no supporter of Mitt Romney. Not in the least bit. But Harry Reid literally made up lies about Mitch McConnell and the binders of women. And when called on his lie, you know what Harry Reid's response was? Did he win? And he had a sly smirk on his face, recognizing that, oh yeah, I just lied about him. But it was effective. And so now you're going to have a sham impeachment that I think is going to blow up in their face. I read the analogy earlier. It's like they pulled the pin on the grenade through the impeachment and now they want to hold it. I hope the American people are witnessing this, because for this type of tomfoolery to go unchecked, it sets the course for our country to be in a worse condition. These people shall not be allowed off the hook by the American people. 2020 is not that far around the corner.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Impeachment. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. We hate to interrupt your Christmas season with discussion of politics, but the President of the United States is about to be impeached for only the third time in our history. It's unlikely the Republican majority Senate will follow the Democrat majority House in impeaching President Trump. So why is the left still trying? Simple. The left's humanistic worldview that favors socialism, abortion, sexual and gender perversion, legalizing drugs, open immigration, and identity politics is being hindered by President Trump. Therefore, false and non-impeachable charges must be made up to diminish him so perhaps he'll lose the next election. Remember to pray for our leaders, that truth and righteousness would prevail. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, a place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Bozeman High School in Montana has been de-recognized, banished after someone complained about the Christian group's belief that marriage is between one man and one woman. There were also complaints about the FCA's sexual purity pledge. Superintendent Bob Connors told a local television station the FCA was in violation of the district's inclusion policy. Alliance Defending Freedom, a religious liberty law firm, is threatening to sue the school district. They say the school violated the Equal Access Act, not to mention the U.S. Constitution. In other words, if the school has a chess club and a gay pride club, they must allow religious clubs. Someone should tell the Bozeman school superintendent he can't play favorites with the First Amendment. Be sure to order a copy of my new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, available for a 10% Christmas discount at toddstarnes.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. Question on the docket for today's discussion. What is your reaction to the impeachment? What is your reaction? Does it cause you to support the president? If you are a person who previously opposed the president and this impeachment has caused you to support the president, I want to hear from you. And conversely, if you're a person that you previously supported the president, but this impeachment has caused you to no longer want to support the president, I'd love to hear from you. What is your reaction to this impeachment? I'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840 is the number. And I got Yeah, that's a good question. The basic question, a friend of mine just asked me, well, what's if this is the way impeachment is going to proceed, what what is there to prohibit future Congresses, if they have, for example, a supermajority of Democrats in the Senate and a supermajority of Democrats in the House, and if there's another Republican president that gets elected and they just don't like him, can they impeach him? Great question. Technically, the answer is yes, but in terms of application, practical application, that's exactly what the Founding Fathers wanted to prohibit. That impeachment is not supposed to be a tool to allow for partisan haggling. That's not what it's there for. Or conversely, what if you have Republican supermajorities in both houses of Congress and you have a Democrat president? I mean, based on their standards, the Republicans should have impeached President Trump for Fast and Furious. President Obama should have impeached President Obama for Fast and Furious. President Obama should have been impeached for creating DACA via the executive order after Congress rejected it numerous times. But he wasn't. Because impeachment was not supposed to be a vehicle to punish a president because you had a policy disagreement. So the number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And, of course, I have to address this. And I know I'm like a voice crying out in the wilderness with this one. But did you notice that the Congress, you know, they can't get together to do anything on a bipartisan basis except shenanigans? They can come together and put a $1.4 trillion spending deal together. Notice that? Oh, yeah. Regular order? Ha, what's regular order? See, what the Congress is supposed to do in terms of the budget, there's supposed to be 12 separate appropriation bills passed during a Congress that funds the government that would allow consistent debate and dialogue between the Congress members and the American people over the budgetary priorities. But we've gotten to the place to where Congress has been operating off of these mammoth omnibus bills. And remember, I told you regressivism is a bipartisan institution, where the day before the vote, you have a 500, 600, 700,000 page bill dropped on the desk of Congress members. Say, hey, by the way, we're going to vote on this tomorrow. Just so you know, the $1.4 trillion spending bill just passed by Congress, it increased spending by $50 billion more than last year's budget. It includes $4,199,978,000 in funding for Afghan security forces. Yeah. Things in the past that our government has spent money on: studying the effects of nicotine on zebrafish, $708,466. Improving the quality of Egyptian schools, $16 million. I wish you could have saw Jeff's face. What? $16 million at improving the quality of Egyptian schools. I know a few schools that need some improvement of their quality. $33,921,175 on textbooks for Afghani students. Huh. I know a couple students in the Ninth Ward that sure could use some money for textbooks. And then you guys really going to like this one. You ready for this one? This makes me so mad. $22 million for increasing Serbian cheese standards. But you know, conservatives used to talk about fiscal responsibility. And you can't lay this at President Trump's feet because he didn't run on being a fiscally conservative president. He didn't run on fiscal conservatism. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of Republican legislators who did. But you ain't heard a peep out of them. In the wake of all of this impeachment talk, they just slide another $1.4 trillion. There's a little bit of money in there. I won't say a little bit. That's a relative term. I think it's about $1.5 billion for the president's border wall. But you have additional maneuverings to try to prevent the president from reallocating Pentagon funds for the border wall. we can't continue operating like this. And now it seems that there is no major fiscally responsible national political party. Craziness. To the phone lines we go. We will start in Mississippi where Nick is on the line. Nick, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Abe. I want to let you know I appreciate everything y'all do at AFA. I've been a recent supporter, and I just love the way that you take command of the English language, and it's just been most edifying to my family. And I just want to add one more analogy to your analogy of what's going on. It's like a quarterback drop back to throw a pass. It's pump faking, and dude's going to get sacked. Democrats are going to get sacked. And I'm behind you guys 100% of AFA. Have a great night.
Nick, thank you for your call, and I love your analogy. Now, some people may not be football aficionados. By the way, shout out to Drew Brees. You know I got to get that in there. Who dat? All right, moving along. In case you don't know, he just surpassed Peyton Manning as the most touchdown passes ever thrown in the history of National Football League. Anyway, back to the fact. Focus, Abraham. That's a great analogy. And also, Nick, thank you for your support of our program and of the Ministry of the American Family Association. It is people like you who help us do what we do. That's why I say the American Family Association doesn't only consist of the people who are here on the radio doing things like that, writing articles. It is all of us. We are the association. Us that are loud mouths, if you will, and those who may not have the microphones, but they are just as much a part of the association as we are. So thank you so much for your call and your comments, and I think your analogy is a good one. We'll go next to Ohio, where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for all that you and AFA do. And I complain about the Republicans in the House when they don't have a backbone and don't stick together, so it's only fair that I compliment them. I'd like to compliment the House Republicans for sticking together and voting as a block. It's one of the only thing I admire about the Democrats and the liberals. They stick together. And in this case, we actually had the Republicans stick together, and the Democrat and liberals had some splintering factions. Also, I complained about McConnell more than most people, and I think it's only fair to compliment him. He did, finally take a stand with some backbone to support our president. So we got to get the pro-life voters out and the fiscal voters out in 2020. That this debt is, as you mentioned, out of control. We got to get some, number one, pro-life candidates, and number two, some fiscal conservatives back in the House and the Senate. God bless you. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you, Joe. That is a good point. It is true that what Joe said, and I alluded to this earlier, there was not one defection in the House of Representatives by Republican members of Congress to vote in favor of impeachment. Not one. In the past, you see some jellybacks that have gotten a little squeamish. So that is appropriate. And you guys know I endeavor to be an equal opportunity truth teller. So if people do things that are good, that are right, I would like to commend them. When they do things that are wrong, I let them know about that too. So thank you for your call and your comments. Joe, we'll go next to Texas, where Iris is on the line. Iris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
I love you, Avon. I'm a frequent caller, but I want to tell you that, and I tell brag on you a lot, but an AFA. I'm definitely so against this sham. It's a stain on America for what has happened, especially on the Democrats. Today, on another program, on a secular conservative talk show program, the person that's in charge of it, very well known nationally, said that there is a way for Mitch McConnell to stop this, to take it to the Supreme Court, and then it can be dismissed in the Supreme Court. There's a way of actually having the Supreme Court be in charge of it, and it would take a lot of guts for Mitch McConnell to do this. Are you familiar with that legal procedure?
Well, let me say this: John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, would be the one presiding over the impeachment trial in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell doesn't have to take it anywhere because he controls. He and the Senate, they control the proceedings. And, the reality is, as I stated earlier, it would take 67 votes to remove the president. 67. I mean, I'm not going to try to prognosticate a specific number. That ain't happening in the Senate. I'm just going to tell you. It's not going to happen. And that's why Nancy Pelosi is hesitant to transfer the articles to the Senate because she knows it ain't going to happen. And they want to try to drag out this idea of, well, Trump has been impeached for as long as possible, because as soon as the acquittal is handed down by the Senate, there's no more conversation about that issue. All you can brag, all you can wax on about is partisanship. So, but thank you very much for your call and your comments, Iris. We'll go next to Pennsylvania, where Cheryl is on the line. What's going on in Pennsylvania, Cheryl? Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for the work you do. We appreciate it very much and listen to the radio all the time. My question is, it's my opinion, whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know, that these congressmen that are doing this against the president are committing treason or sedition or something like that. Can't they be removed? And I'll let you go now.
Okay. All right, Cheryl, thank you for your call and your question. So, treasonous actions are defined in the Constitution. The Constitution grants the House of Representatives the prerogative to impeach a president. Now, can they be removed? The process to remove an elected official from office is impeachment itself. But a more immediate route, even other than impeaching an individual member of Congress, is that a lot of these people have to be reelected. There are 31 Congress members who are members of the House of Representatives who are Democrats who are in districts that President Trump won. Jeff Van Drew is a great example. He's a Democrat who got elected in New Jersey as a Democrat. But President Trump won his district by 53 points. He had 53% of the vote. Jeff ain't nobody's fool. Says, listen, if I want to be reelected, I got to stop rolling with these crazy kooks and roll with the president. And that is what he did. Now, there are 31 Democrats who are in districts just like Jeff Van Drew's district that they will be up for reelection. And it is incumbent upon the American people to remember. Mufasa style in The Lion King. Remember. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to back to Mississippi, where Melvin is on the line. Melvin, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, my melanin enhanced brother.
Hey, good evening.
I just have one question. I've been reading that Ms. Pelosi is trying to dictate policy to the Senate.
Yes.
Would somebody please explain to this woman that she is not a member of the Senate, nor is she president yet?
Oh, yet. Oh, don't say things like that, Melvin. Yet. I don't think the country can stand a Pelosi presidency. Now, you have to remember, this is the same woman who said you have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it. So I don't know how effective an explanation of the constitutional process would be for Nancy Pelosi. But I'm just going to tell you, it's not that she doesn't know the process. It is because she is trying to do everything in her power to try to milk this debacle, because she knows it's a debacle. And folks, you know, this whole thing, I strongly believe, I don't think that there should be any resting on any laurels, but I strongly believe this thing is going to turn out horribly for the Democrat majority, because there are a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people, especially those who are not necessarily partisan, but they were thinking, they thought the impeachment thing would have a lot more substance to it. And then when they saw what it was, they were like, and this is it? Cue Chris Carter. Come on, man. There's got to be more than this if you're going to try to remove a sitting president. But it shows she's reluctant to do so because she's hesitating on sending those articles to the Senate. Stay tuned, because there's more foolishness that will commence.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.